This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You're listening to part two of our November 10th, 2009 Jimmy Doan Show.
Songs.
Isn't it killer?
Oh, man. You know, this is from, like, the late 50s, I think, this came out.
Really?
Yeah, I remember listening to this with my friend Pete Martin when I was in, like, high school or something.
Yeah?
Yeah, the first one of the first Ray Charles albums I ever heard.
What I say.
Yeah, what I say.
This and that's what we say stuff on a Jimmy Doan Show.
That's right, what I say. Well, you got to listen to what we say.
That's right.
If you've listened to Jimmy Doan Show for the last 6 months, you could have made some money. And you can always forward some of your winnings.
That's, well, absolutely.
As a little special thank you.
Yeah.
10% of your winnings.
A donation to the donation.
That's right.
In fact, on our website, we've got it. Ah. PayPal.
Well, you know, what I really would like to do, there's two things. I should have a little award. I did order a little pamphlet. I don't know if I mentioned this last time. Called The Anti-Capitalist Mentality by Ludwig von Mises, I guess. It's a pamphlet. It's about 60 pages long, and it's really good. And
right.
I got a couple of extra copies. What I probably should do is if you go and make a donation, you know, over the postage, you know, a dollar or something, the first two or three people that do that, I can send them. Because I got a couple of extra copies. It was kind of a bulk thing.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, what they do is they make an appropriate donation, kind of like our parking out here, you know?
Right.
And, I mean, if it wants to be a huge donation, that's fine. If you win the lottery, we'll take, you know, 10% or whatever.
Sure.
But that's really a good little pamphlet for everybody. But the one book that I have been, I've got to do a review on it, that I have now about two-thirds of the way through, is The Road to Serfdom. I'm rereading it. This is a book that really should be must-reading for anybody that's involved in freedom. And actually, all politicians should have read it, and we wouldn't be in the mess we are today if they had... if they were to read The Road to Serfdom, because you can see, even though this book was published over 50 years ago, it could have been written yesterday. And it has to do with planning and the way it's all kind of automatic that societies and governments and so forth go from what the well-meaning, all-caring to the tyranny that they must do. And he outlined, of course, he won the Nobel Prize in 1974, but it wasn't for this book. He wrote this book, I think, in the mid-40s. As almost a throwaway book, and then he updated it, I think, a little later on. The version that I have is the 20th anniversary or something, with a foreword written by Milton Friedman. Anyway, The Road to Serfdom is a book that is on our little list, our little Amazon list.
Yes, and that's on our reading list button on the Jimmy,
well, this is must reading. This is a book, seriously. The good news and bad news about this book, it's so concise, even though it's like 150 pages or something, that it's great bathroom reading, because you cannot read more than about a page or two without serious digesting that has to go on. If you try and read it in one sitting, you won't get it.
Right.
It is that concise, that intense. You have to sit down after you read two or three pages. You have to put the book down, which is great, you know, and then take a shower, whatever you want to do. And then
rip the page out.
Yeah, rip the page out, right. And you should also read it, as I do, with a yellow marker. As I mentioned before, the problem is that half the book gets yellow marked up, and then they have to write it also with a pen to put some notes in the margin.
Well, that's why they got those wider and wider markers for you.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, my latest marker is 8 inches wide, so you just you kind of mark up, you just do the whole page at one time.
Or you just dip the whole book in yellow ink, and then you...
There you go, and then you use a white marker to take out the stuff. You know, yeah, exactly. Probably a lot faster. But this is how it is, and I can tell you that that it's a... This is one of the more, gosh, you read this thing, it's almost like a religious experience when you go through this. He's so concise and so rigorous in his study of this. And it's kind of the serious version of another one of my favorite books, which is long out of print. It's called The Law by C. Northcote Parkinson, which should also be must reading, written also in the written in the mid 50s and I think upgraded up through about 1970. by C. Northcote Parkinson.
But it's actually on our list, and if you just clicked on it right now, it just said best price was $8.52 from Amazon.
Right. And so, it's worth 10 times that. I mean, right. It's really an incredible. It's easy read. It's right. Tongue in cheek. It's a humorous book, and it's got some little pictures, some cartoons in it, and so forth. But it is dead nuts on the money. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Dilbert. You know, Dilbert cartoons are funny, but boy, you talk about on the money. Sometimes they're you know, I've cut out so many of them. You know, you can make a, well, he does, of course, he puts them in books.
All right, Jimmy's in major digression
mode. Okay, let's go.
Major digression.
Oh, no, I'm done. I got that done.
I got to finish that last story I was just talking about when we went to the break. The story about the man who is facing child endangerment 7 to 10 years for the tattoo.
Right.
I just got to be totally fair, the tattoo was said to be of a gang sign.
Right.
And it was in the shape of a dog paw.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
Mayhem.
Again. So, you know, again, this is where these guys are, as bad as it might be, you know, you start doing that slippery slope, even though it sounds bad. And I know there are a lot of people that say this is, you know, it's worth 7 years, but really?
No. No.
It's just...
No. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no on
that. For 500.
Too. Well, speaking of things that are going to cost you a lot of money... Now they want to do locally here. They're not going to wait for the state. They want to ban texting here locally.
What do you mean? Ban
texting and driving?
Texting and driving, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've been saying the DWD statute is on its way. The distracted while driving.
Distracted while driving. I thought it was driving while driving.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's going to be the new offense, you know, driving while driving. We're going to charge you for that one. Okay. Not enough they charge you, you know, for the tag, $50-$60 now and everything else, but they... It's never enough money, but our local county commissioner, she's a lovely lady, and I'm sure well-meaning. She's the one that set up our much maligned choices program here in town, which is in trouble. But apparently they're going to pass a Florida statute. They're talking about passing a Florida statute against texting next year.
There's several states that have got it up.
Several states have already done it. Interestingly enough, emergency vehicles and policemen are exempted.
Oh yeah, sure. You can be playing on the computer if you're a police officer, because the thing is
a major public safety issue, and so you know as long as they're doing it.
Well, but see, they're trained to do it. You know, they're better at it than the.
Well, of course, that was one of the things. And when you talk about trained, that was one of the big sting operations they do here, has to do when you pass an emergency vehicle parked on the side of the road.
Yeah.
If you don't slow down, it's a $150 ticket. And of course, I'm thinking it's not the emergency people. Certainly their training. Would involve the first thing they would learn is how to stay out of the way of traffic.
Got a Dodge car.
Yeah, I mean, really.
All right, EMT exam, going out to the track here.
Going out to the track and you learn it. But I mean, it's the civilians, you know, that they ought to get a ticket for passing the civilians at high speed that are parked, you know, changing their tire in the middle of I-75.
Well, it's kind of funny you talk about playing on computers. Stitch sent this thing to me. This is one of Congress's 3-day work weeks that we all pay for, and it had there's a picture here. It says House Minority Leader Lawrence F. Caffaro Jr., Republican R. Norwalk. I don't know. Picture standing far right speaks while colleagues Representative Barbara Lambert, D. Milford, and Republican Representative Jack F. Hennessy, Democrat Bridgeport.
Okay, this is the Connecticut legislature.
Yeah, okay. They play solitaire Monday night. As the House convened to vote on a new budget, you could see all their laptops up playing solitaire. And because the guy sitting in the front row, he's on Facebook. The guy behind him is checking on baseball scores. And but these folks couldn't get out by October 1st, so we got a 30-day budget extension. 30 days from now, we'll be in the same boat, and they will still be playing solitaire. So.
Oh my God!
But it's just a great shot of the computer screen. You know, they all got their laptops up playing solitaire while this guy's up there preaching.
That's photoshopped, man.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, to continue on the texting thing, of course, they want to ban. They've several states already banned cellular phones unless it's a hands-free
right.
or something. But when I think about the number of times that people are running down the highway with a big burger in their hand or a Coke
yeah,
or something,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, even just changing the radio station,
right? Like, I mean, that's the whole point. Is what you're seeing, Jimmy, is the truth, which is that there's a whole bunch of stuff that distracts you when you're driving. A pretty girl on the side of the road. There's a bunch.
Jimmy, he's immune to that.
Right, yeah.
And not so much, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't remember whether I got stopped or a friend of mine got stopped one time for what he called careless driving, And the explanation was, did you see that girl back there? And he goes, yeah, you can go.
Well, I like it, but the point is that that's not public policy. Public policy is they're trying to find anything that might cause a distraction, and they're going to strap it to like the DUI statute situation, so that if you're doing this thing and you get in an accident and people die, then you're going to prison. And I mean, it's going to be texting, it's going to be eating, it's going to be anything. And I, you know, to me, it's crazy. You've taken the intent out of the crime. I mean, here's a situation that I was following the other day. There's this 18-year-old is now facing 15 years to life, okay, for the death of his classmate, his 16-year-old classmate. He crashed his mom's car after having several shots of rum, according to the witnesses. His blood alcohol level was 1.1. Okay, anybody knows anything about
1.1?
Yeah, okay, but right. So the whole point is that it was very low, okay?
Right.
Your statutes are 0.08 or 0.1, and his is 0.11.
Right.
So very low. I mean, he wasn't wasted. He just had some drinks, and he got in an accident. And the passenger in his own car died, and now he's going to do 15 to life.
Yeah.
I mean, an 18-year-old, you know, where's the criminal intent? Like, what part of society are you reforming?
Yeah.
You know, you're not changing intent. Like, you might scare people from driving because they don't want to go to prison, but you're not going to make people who are driving more careful because this guy was being, I would say, careful enough. That is to say, I mean, to me, drivers are trying to prevent their own death.
Right.
And you know, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, I agree. And again, the of course, one of the things you find out is really all about the money.
Well, now this one, I'll tell you why he got this.
Oh.
He got this because literally just hours before, now this kid had no driver's license. And just hours before, he had been released by the court for driving without his license. So this was the, you just messed with the court after we just let you out.
Right.
Slap down.
Right.
But
slap down.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, the whole point is that society should not stand for this kid losing half of his life, if not the whole thing, because of this mistake, you know? He should be civilly liable, okay, you know, pay the family.
Right.
But there's no criminal intent here, and I just can't abide this kind of stuff. To me, I don't like it, you know?
Now, it's, well, of course, the thing I look at is that, as we talked about before, no harm, no foul should be the rule.
Right. And to me, even if there's harm, but there was no intent to have harm, then there shouldn't be criminal liability.
Right.
You know, maybe civil liability, sure all day long. You cause some harm, you know, pay for it.
Right.
But don't pay for it by, you know, with your life. And I mean, like I said, you're not deterring anything.
No, you're not deterring anything. And of course, the question you have to ask yourself is who wins in this thing? And I guess it's the prosecutor. It gets to chalk it up as a win.
You know, the family gets some. The family of the dead person gets some satisfaction.
Is that really the kind of satisfaction you want? I mean, anybody that gets that kind of satisfaction.
Well, see, at that point, though, the victims are deluded. You know, they're trying to blame somebody other than God. And if this other person can be the person that they can blame, then for somehow it makes them feel like the universe is still in balance. This is just an evil person that caused this situation. Whereas if it was nobody's fault, if it was just an accident, it's much harder for the victims to accept. Nobody wants to assume that nature caused a death, you know.
Yeah. I think I would love to be able to say this in down at the city commission meeting, but they won't let you, and that is...
they won't let you in anymore?
No, they've stopped.
Door's locked!
Yeah. And that happened once. I told you, didn't I?
No.
No, I went down there one time, but let me just finish up the first thing. I would like to be able to go down there and imprint on their heads that shit happens.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
That's the key. Shit happens, but you can't say the word shit in the meeting because they call some. But, I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Entropy.
Excrement happens doesn't have the same ring to
it. Stuff happens?
Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, I suppose. But that's the point is that for no reason, just shit happens.
Right.
And, I went down to, they had a meeting one time on, it was like 5 o'clock or 5:30 or something was the public comment. I went down and the door was locked. Mm. And I pounded and beat on the door. I was lucky.
Pounded and beat on the door.
Beat on the door.
Man, I was just watching you on channel 12.
I know you're in there.
I know you're in there, Damon.
No, well,
you're all hiding. Don't open it.
The
door was locked to the courthouse or wherever they have it wasn't the courthouse, it was the county commission building. and where they have the county meetings and so forth. Luckily, a lady came out who worked there, and I, you know, slid in or whatever. Mm-hmm. She used her little key.
She didn't get the memo.
Yeah, she didn't get the memo. She didn't know who I was, right. So I got up there, and I said, you know, I understand you guys not real happy about public comment, because it's on the agenda, you know, from 5:30 to 5:45.
Well, there's nobody here.
Yeah. Gee, nobody showed up.
Wow.
Well, you know, you can make it pretty easy for nobody to show up. You lock the door. So there was a big hoorah about that. Somebody else was there supposedly for a time certain, some kind of thing, and found the door was locked. And they voted him because it was a no-show. You know, he was outside pounding on the door as I had been, and he was a no-show, and they went ahead and voted against him. He shows up and says, the door was locked. And they said, well, we can't help that. It was a mistake. You can appeal it or whatever. I mean, it was like a property dispute or he wanted a zoning exemption or something.
Right.
Had a whole hearing scheduled, and they bumped it. They locked the door and bumped up the time and no apology.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So,
well, the government is just overreaching everywhere.
Everywhere. No, they absolutely believe that they can cure it all. I did, at my garage sales last Saturday, I spent way too much money, but one thing I did get was a really neat LED wand, and I thought I'd give it to them because they can just wave their wand and change things.
Yeah. Oh, here's a little quick story out of somewhere else I didn't write down. but I know you've heard this one, okay? This woman was watching, she had kids that, all the kids in the neighborhood went to school, and the bus stopped in front of her house. Well, several of the mothers left a couple hours early, or an hour early, before the bus showed up. So they would send their child down to wait at this particular mom's house at the bus stop.
And it was okay by the mom.
Okay by the mom. They issued a cease and desist order to the mom for operating an unlicensed daycare.
Yeah. I heard about that.
God, are you kidding me?
Boy, the mercantile system is alive and well.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's...
Now, of course, yeah, exactly. The mercantile system. Hey! We got some drop-ins.
Oh, my God. We got some people. Yes.
So,
okay.
I don't know if we have a live mic, but...
Not on.
Yep.
So, anyway, yeah, well, you know, of course, it's all about the children until it's not about the children. There's another article that I saw. There's an editorial... A Broward County couple was seeking to adopt a child, and they were upset when the adoption agency said, "Do you have any weapons or guns or ammunition in the house?" And they said, "None of your business." And so I don't know when they actually got it, but apparently they thought it was, you know, what difference does it make?
Second Amendment, right.
It was a Second Amendment.
It was weird.
And so, yeah, weird. So adoption agency says they're, of course, they were all upset, and they want to now pass a new law that says if you've got guns in the house, you can't adopt kids. Or AMO or whatever it is, adoption agencies are responsible for placing children in homes that offer a safe environment. Nearly all unintentional shooting deaths involving children occur in or around the home, and more than half occur in the victim's own home, yada, yada,
yada.
Yeah,
but Jimmy, I think they were concerned they had a catapult and they were going to fling the baby over the parapet.
They were not talking about a trebuchet. We do have a trebuchet in the house, we hold.
Oh, yeah, we got one right over here. We got a studio trebuchet.
Yeah, that's right.
Complete with baby.
Yeah, I love the one.
We even had a baby in it.
I love the one in Monty Python.
A trebuchet.
Monty Python where they throw the
Bless
cow.
right. Don't have that one on.
Oh, we don't have a cow loaded.
We don't
have a cow loaded. Okay. okay, and speaking of ammunition, I see where Arnold has left the plantation. This is in California. We restrict ammunition sales in California. Was signed this past evening by the Schwarzenegger and his to all members of.
How can he restrict ammunition? He's responsible for more ammunition being fired off than any governor in history.
I mean, honest to God, if you were to count the number of bullets in his movies, it's like more ammo than ever existed.
You have to go back to like World War II governors to, you know.
I mean, the measure would require vendors of handgun ammunition to keep a log of information on handgun ammunition sales, store ammunition in a safe and secure manner, and require a face-to-face transfer of ammunition sales.
We have detailed files.
Although I have previously vetoed legislation
every day.
Similar to this measure, local governments have demonstrated that requiring ammunition vendors to keep records on ammunition sales improves public safety. It's not intrusive, it says here, for law-abiding citizens. You know, this is the old, if you're not doing anything wrong, yeah, no problem, you know.
Here's one. You've probably heard the story about a mom whose child was kidnapped. Her newborn child was kidnapped. Just a regular old mom, and she had a regular old kid. And the kid got taken, newborn child, snatched out of the house. Okay. And they found it like one state away a few days later or something. Okay. So the mom goes to pick up her child, and she brings her other three kids along with her, and DCF takes them all.
And the reason was?
Well, because she allowed the one child to be endangered.
Ah.
So naturally, they got to take all her kids.
Uh-huh.
Because the one was kidnapped.
No, but of course, DCF is a state function, right?
Right.
So this was in another state?
Well, yeah, it was a child protective. Child people, they'll take, if the child's in their state, they're taking control.
I understand that. But so if she goes back home, then she has to drive back over to this other state every time.
Well, they might have been taken in her home state. Okay. I don't know. What I'm saying is, though, is that she lost a child, the authorities found the child, and then when she went to go pick the child up, they took the rest of her kids. Yeah. The authorities took the rest of her kids. Yeah, I mean, you know, and like the last thing she probably thought was going to happen.
Absolutely.
When she was going to pick up her child. The trauma of it all.
I know.
We noticed here you brought some other kids. Here, what have
well,
you got there?
Now you know, of course, if she hadn't brought them.
Well, then it would have been abandoned.
They're abandoned, right. Especially if she left them on that bus stop with that lady.
Here's the rule, okay? And here's the rule. You never bring your kids to a DCF party, okay?
Yeah, that's right. to a DCF.
If you know somebody works with Child Protective Services, You isolate your child from them or them from your child. You know, you don't let them have the opportunity. You know, I myself have been in court defending DCF stuff, and we had our kids there, and the DCF woman comes up and starts asking them, "So, do you have any bruises on you?"
An 8-year-old. You have any bruises on you? No.
Well, exactly.
That's abuse right there.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
You got no bruises. There's something wrong here.
Yeah. Here's another thing. I mean, if it wasn't bad enough, okay, about what's happening in the rules and regulations, the other week, and I'm watching football. Okay?
Football!
Here's something everybody can appreciate, right? The guy scores a touchdown.
Uh-huh.
He runs into the end zone. He points at the sky, and he draws a celebration penalty.
Right. I saw that big hoorah about what constitutes celebration.
But here's the thing. The official had to come on and explain what it was he did that constituted the foul. So you got to figure, if that happens, don't have a good penalty. You know what I mean? I mean, if they got to tell you, this was wrong.
Right.
They
have to explain it to you. Yeah.
Right, right.
No,
right.
That particular article, that was a college game, right?
Yeah.
Okay, some of the jurisdictions now also. And they're really up in the air about what constitutes a celebration. And literally, you're supposed to, the rule is now this. Even if it's the game-winning touchdown and you're like a tackle that has never scored a touchdown, but you picked up a fumble.
Right.
And it's your senior year, last game of the season, and it's a game-winning touchdown.
Right. And your girlfriend's in the end zone.
End zone, and she says, if you score, you will score. And so, you know, so the deal is, you are supposed to, the rule is, you're supposed to act like you've done it 100 times before.
Right.
You know, just kind of calmly. Now, you can imagine.
Yeah.
It would be worth
whatever
something.
Penalty they give
you. Right.
We got to take a quick break, but we'll come right back on the Jimmy Doan Show.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, we're back here on the Jimmy Doan Show. November 10th, 2009, part two.
Part two, that's right. Okay, what are we going to do now? I've got four more things here that really don't matter much. Locally, what I thought was an irony. There's an editorial in the local paper here called the Great Water Grab. Here in northern Florida, we've got a lot of springs, and there's like jillions of gallons of water. Down south in St. Petersburg, which is like on a peninsula, they're running out of water, Tampa and all that kind of stuff, and they want to run a big old pipeline up here and take the water. And, of course, they talk about the haves and the have-nots, that we're the haves, and there's those rotten people down in Tampa, St. Petersburg, want to grab up our water. And what I thought was interesting that the people up here, the irony of all this is that typically the Gainesville Sun rails against the rich people, rails against the fact that rich people are not contributing their fair share to the equality of so forth. The haves are ripping us off kind of thing. And all of a sudden, we're the haves, and whoa, this is our stuff. Wait, we'll hold it. Now that we've got some, we want to hold on to it. And, of course, the proper way to do this would be simply to sell off the springs and have the people charge for it, what the traffic would bear. I mean, people are paying, you know, $1, $2 a gallon for water in the store, and it's sailing off the shelves. And our tap water is like 5 cents or 10 cents a gallon. You know, so charge for the spring water, charge, you know, 40 cents to a gallon or whatever it is to pipe it down there. And the market would figure it out in 2 seconds. But the irony of all this...
Water czar,
right. Well, that's what they do. They want to set up a water czar. That's one of the things that they want to do. And the Gainesville Sun is all upset about this because it's our water and they want it. And the next thing you know, we're going to be dry and, you know, high and dry and all that stuff. And, of course, one of the things that I think about is the not only the irony, but the dichotomy that's involved here is if we have all the water... And say the water dries up down in St. Pete, Tampa, Miami, wherever it is, or Lake Okeechobee goes away, who knows what. Where are people going to live? They're going to be moving up here. And so the idea is if you don't want them here, don't have any water up here. You know, let's pipe our water, keep them down there. We'll keep them down there by shoveling the water down there.
Uh-huh. And we need that little device that that Professor Frink had. You know.
It only transports matter.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's rivers and stuff all over Florida.
But I mean, the simple fact is that the aquifer, it's right. All that other business. The simple fact is they are running out of water down right. In St. Pete. See, if you look at the map, it doesn't take too much to figure it out. Anyway, the bottom line is they want the water from northern Florida, from the Suwannee and from the springs and everything.
Does it taste better?
No, it's just that it's there. You know, they have to purify it or whatever.
Put a nuclear
it's
power.
They have a nuclear power plant.
Right.
Out there.
Use that and distill it all.
Yeah, right. The point is that it's like what they did in California, you know, when they ran the water from the wherever they, you know, 120 miles or whatever to get to L.A. They want to do the same thing here. And as I say, the Gainesville Sun's all upset about it. It's just interesting to see suddenly when you're the have, now you don't want to share. The other rotten haves are not sharing, but now that we're a have, we're not going to share.
No, it's all different.
Yeah, it's all different. It reminds me of that, you know, the old joke about the Russians. You know, talking to each other, that the commie Russians that are, we are buddies under the skin. We'll share everything. If I had 1,000,000 rubles, I'd give you half. You know, if I had, a whole herd of 30 cows, I'd give you 15 of them. And, then if you had, like, 2 pigs, you'd give me one. Whoa, wait a minute. You know I have 2 pigs.
Right.
So, anyway, as soon as it comes down to that, that's great. Anything else in particular? I got a couple more things. Anything else you all want to jump in on?
I just had this another one back to our back to the gun issue we were talking about. There was a place up in I think it was in Iowa. I think it's up by sort of by our other hangar dog,
Cayman.
Brody Middle School. Jasmine, you know, she went to a Circle B Ranch in South Dakota on a summer vacation, and they had the show's highlight was a simulated gunfight. And which she gathered up all the spent shell casings, right? These are, of course, blanks. And she picked up the shells as souvenirs, and she thought it'd be really cool to show to her science teacher. And the ammunition was clearly marked blank on each one, but apparently that scared Principal Gordon out of his gourd. And so she was suspended.
Zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
No brains needed here.
Oh, we talked about the kids.
The shell.
There was kids.
It's like, the bullet's already gone.
Yeah. Right? There's no powder and there's no primer. Right. You know, it's basically, it's just the brass, you know.
It's a brass tube.
Right, a brass tube. And you're going.
And you're going to jail.
You're going out. Well, you're going out.
You're going down.
Right.
Okay, then the next thing I want to talk about here, interesting, in the insatiable desire for money locally, they want to pass another 2% tax on the what they call the bed tax here.
Oh,
locally.
My gosh.
Well,
yeah.
Because they've come up with a way to supposedly spend the money. They, you know, find a way to spend the money first and then tax next. And what I love, the one thing about this is the guy who actually is paid, it's called the Tourist Development Council here, and I'm sure that a lot of people have got these. Not that anybody really wants to be a tourist in Gainesville, let's face it. We're not exactly a destination. But they want to raise the tax now, so... On a $100 room, it's going to be almost $12 tax. But the
starting to look like real money on
starting
taxes
to look like
there.
Real money. But I love this. Roland Lug, who's the head of this thing, it would be made possible through a tax that Alachua County citizens do not pay. I mean, I love this. You know, as long as we're not paying it, it's a good thing. And I, you know, it's a beggar thy neighbor policy.
Right.
I mean, I've been to other places where the taxes were unbelievable, but, you know, and I paid it or didn't.
Right.
Or didn't go or didn't stay an extra day because it was, you know, whatever.
Well, what you're getting at is the people who are paying it are the hoteliers because they're going to pay with people not renting their places out with extra tax.
Well, it is a tax, but my point is that they're all taxes, all economics is on the margin anyway.
Well, yeah.
But my point is the way this will get passed is we're not paying it. And that so it's okay. It's okay. You know, it's not us. It's a lot of money. We're going to, you know, hose these people that come down the road here. So anyway.
The thing is that what I was going to say is that, but again, it still affects when you know, we have relatives come into town.
You understand. Now, this tax will be collected. What they want to do is they want to put together a huge baseball complex on the west side of the county.
Well, yeah, like Newberry.
Right.
Like not even in Gainesville.
No. It's 17 miles from here.
Right.
But no big deal. My point is that they said this will draw, it'll pay for itself. Well, of course, if it'll pay for itself, why don't you get some private people to put this together?
Right.
Number one. But the thing is, like, we have football weekends here where the place is packed to the eyeballs. All the rates go up, and that's when they collect a lot of the money. Those people are not going to the baseball field. And, of course, as you mentioned, they're the parents of the people here.
Students.
And so that's money that the student, like, is not going to get. Mm-hmm. You know, when they go out to dinner, they're going to say, wait a minute, we're paying, you know, $50 in taxes for the couple days we're here. Tell you what, let's go get a burger, or let's cook at home, or whatever it is. I mean, the idea that we don't pay is
ludicrous.
This is the mindset of people that want to grab your money, and this, trust me, is going to be the way that it's going to get passed. Is that he will pound it home. It's the economy, stupid. You know, the kind of thing. I did not have sex with that woman. You know, it'll be said 1,000 times. We're not paying it, and as we all know, we are.
All right, we got to take another quick short break, and we'll be right back. And we're back.
I got two light notes.
Okay.
One is that Bird Drop's baguette halts the collider. Did you see that?
Nope.
The Hadron or Halion or whatever.
Large Hadron
apparently
Collider.
Apparently, a bird flew over some delicate and had a piece of baguette.
Yeah. You know,
obviously, it was a French bird.
Right.
Was flying over.
Oh, well, this is a terrorist attack.
Terrorist attack and dropped this piece of bread or whatever in a sensitive portion and shut the damn thing down.
Hi, the damn thing's underground.
You've got to be kidding me. No.
Apparently, it said here.
It's that ventilation shaft they have on Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. Straight to the reactor.
That's right.
You know.
It says 2 meters wide.
However, a de-beaked piece of bread that dropped in the machine appears to have caused a power outage. The CERN spokesman Christine Sutton told The Guardian the problem related to the high voltage supply. We get mains voltage from the grid, and there was an interruption in the power supply, just like you might have power cut at home. And they went to investigate, and they found the bread and a bird eating the bread. Mm-hmm. And then the bird was fried, of course. But it's
not impossible. We used to bullseye womp rats. They're not much bigger than 3 meters.
Well, one of the things is what I like about this is, however, shouldn't we be more concerned about the metaphysics of physics? There are, according to the New York Times, some scientists who believe that this God particle experiment is being interfered with by time-traveling particles from our own future.
Yeah, me too.
That's what I like about this is, this is the future is coming back. We don't want to fire this thing up, so we send a bird back, Terminator style.
Terminator style.
To drop a piece of bread and didn't fire it up.
They'll never suspect it.
I mean, there are actually scientists, not whack job, but I mean, whack job scientists, but I mean, not tin hat people,
right?
You know, aluminum foil people, whatever it is.
There'll be no one to stop us this time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. The last thing I've got here is using tissue grown. This is good news for us. Good news for us guys.
Mm-hmm.
Using tissue grown in a laboratory, researchers have engineered fully functional replacement penises.
Mm. Whoa.
The organs were made for rabbits, but the technique may be someday useful for people.
Uh-oh.
So you're going to end up with
sign me up.
You're going to end up, well, except for the right now you have a rabbit dick, which is probably I would like if they could. The thing is, if they would try
it's
it on
small,
if they would put on a horse or a whale, it'd be one thing, you know. But once they could do it on a whale, technology has considerable potential for patients requiring penile construction. Leading the team was, Wake Forest University Institute of Regenerative Medicine, developing a technique which cells are taken from an organ and sprayed onto a frame made of collagen. I've seen that on TV. And the primary.
I've seen it on TV.
And yeah, so it's got to be right.
Yeah.
But anyway, they've already grown bladders and some tissue in 7 men. But the beauty of it is, I'm thinking, if I can just last long enough to get this baby, I mean, can you order it? Like, you know, I'll have one that's
extra. Does the other one have to be broke before you order a replacement?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, that's what they do. They do a replacement. You're under
Obamacare.
It turns out we had enough money to take the old one off,
but your insurance didn't cover
the new one on.
Yeah.
No, as far as I'm concerned,
here's a Tylenol.
I would like, yeah, here's a Tylenol, right. They'd have to make sure they put the new one on first before they took off the old one.
Put it right over the old one.
Or next to it or something. You know.
Next to it,
no,
yeah.
I mean, if it's strategically placed, you can have some real fun.
Right. Well, I have seen that, again, that they've been having incredible breakthroughs with growing tissue, replacement tissue for people's own stem cells and sterile chambers. It's all coming down the pipe. Age of spiritual machines, folks.
Yep.
I had this one, speaking of penises, man busted for being naked at home.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. This is Dateline, Virginia. A Virginia man was busted for indecent exposure after he was caught in the buff in his own home alone. Okay, this guy,
5:30 a.m.
His name was Eric. Yeah, 5:30 a.m. Okay, Monday, went to the kitchen to make some coffee. He was naked, but he was alone in his house.
He's got like a big picture window or something.
A woman and a 7-year-old boy were cutting through Williamson's front yard from a nearby path. Okay.
Trespassing.
And, right, trespassing.
That's what I should say. Yeah.
Through his front window, right. They saw him having, you know, coffee in his birthday suit. And so the Fairfax County police showed up and arrested him. And he said he had no idea. But still, you got to go to jail naked.
Oh, I know. I mean, crazy.
If convicted, he could face a year in jail and a $2,000 fine.
Yep.
And
which brings up a point I want to ask.
Benjamin Franklin used to sit on his porch naked.
Yeah.
Okay. Even. So I guess that'd be the defense I use.
He'd have been taking child protective services when he left his home at 11 to go work.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Speaking of nakedness, if you see the police coming up to your house and, you know, something like, if you strip down and answer the door naked, there's nothing they can do, right? I mean, they.
Probably not a good idea. I mean, the rule is if they can prove that you were aware that you were going to expose yourself. And so what they would try to say is, well, you knew somebody was at the door because we were knocking.
Okay. But what if you, let me ask you this then. Hypothetically, let's say you.
Why are we going through? I got a bad feeling about these hypotheticals.
Let's say you open the, you crack open the door.
Let's say that I was. I mean, you were.
Let's say a person.
Right.
a humanoid person answered the door, cracked open the door, and stuck their head around and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Can we come in?" And you said, "Well, no, I'm naked."
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that because then it gives you a good reason to refuse their entry.
Okay, fine.
What I always say is the house is a mess. I don't want you coming in right now.
I don't know. That could be child endangerment.
Listen, I need to refresh everybody's memory here because there have been some listeners I've heard recently have thought about calling the cops and have also thought about encountering the police without contacting their attorney, okay? Here's the rule. I just want to go over real quick. What you do is this, okay? When the police come to your door, all right, you be cool, you be polite, you be nice, but don't let them in, all right? Don't be cooperative. You can be polite, but uncooperative. You know, you go and you could bring them some Cokes. Hey, would you guys wait out here just for a second? Listen, my attorney gets really pissed off if we don't call him if there's ever cops around. So if you just hold on a second, it'd be really cool. And then they will do it. They'll be cool.
And go get them a donut.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Make them happy. But
your
don't
donut
give them information.
Boy,
your sprinkles.
Yeah.
The sprinkles are also good.
That's right. You can have a donut.
That's good.
Or whatever. When they, you know, I don't know what you guys are doing here because I'm out of donuts.
Right. Right there. There's no hot now. Not hot now.
So just say no, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I say no? Okay, did you know that for all you hairy guys out there, apparently that hairy guys have generally better IQs than non-hairy guys.
Hey.
You know, look at that.
Bullshit.
So he found that the smartest members of Mensa tended to have thick hair on their backs as well as their chests.
What about the women?
Yes, them too.
Them too. Hair on their chests and backs.
Yep. So that's good.
Yeah, well, up to the point.
Good thing Stephen Stills had a little cancer scare, but he's now revitalized and ready to get back going again.
You know, the other big news since the last time we did a podcast was, of course, our esteemed president won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh,
exactly.
Right, yeah. Didn't he? He threw out the first baseball pitch for the one of the games, so he won the Cy Young Award, right, for pitching.
my favorite comment was from T.O. Twocky, who said, "Man, I just took a massive Nobel Peace Prize, and I feel much better now.
lost a waist size, you know, lost an inch off my waist getting rid of that Nobel Peace Prize."
Speaking of T.O. Twocky, we sent out to some of our listeners and fans here. There's both of them.
Engineer Eric is now.
No. I'm trying to pull up an image that I had to download because, you know, I didn't have it on this particular laptop, but I wanted to give the deal here. It's the Institute of Children's Literature. Okay, they please write and send me your free aptitude test for a children's writing and illustrated brochure. I understand I have no obligation. Blah blah blah. They're trying to solicit this college, I guess, to probably suck you into taking some classes or something. But they want you to, you know, publish children's books, right?
Yeah.
So we sent out to some of our esteemed listener here, and we had a submission. Right. And
short story.
This is a short story from T.O. Twocky that I thought we'd share with everybody. This is his children's book, okay?
Copyright 2009.
Copyright 2009, Jimmy Don't Show. Once upon a time, there was a little boy who was born on an island far, far away. And when this little boy grew up, he was elected president by people who believed he would give them magical free stuff. But where, oh, where would he get this magical free stuff? He looked and looked all around until he came upon a group of hardworking people who made stuff. And he took the hardworking people's stuff, and he waved his magic wand and transformed the hardworking people's stuff into magical free stuff to give to all the people that elected him. Now, this angered the hardworking peoples whose stuff he had taken, and 4 years later, they got off their collective and voted the little boy who was born on an island far, far away out on his blank.
Yeah.
The end.
Well, unfortunately.
That's definitely Pulitzer Prize material there.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Anything else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm upset with Dell Company. I've been nailing the garage sales, and I've been buying printers recently. You know, these printers that I remember, my first printer that I bought was like $600, and it was a dot matrix printer that, you know, had like three dots per letter. Yeah, noisy as anything. And so I'm buying these things for $10. They do everything in the world. Of course, the ink is a fortune. And the damn Dell people, just because they make PCs, they don't make drivers for the Macintosh. So I've got printers here that are beautiful, but got to go on a PC.
Oh, really? Can't get a USB converter for it?
No, the driver's got to read the Dell lingo or something. I don't know.
Well,
I thought it was awfully unfriendly.
I'm a PC, and I'm happy.
That's
Man dressed as breathalyzer caught driving drunk.
What?
Yeah, this is for Halloween. We just had Halloween, and of course we didn't do a Halloween show. So, a man dressed as a breathalyzer for Halloween was arrested at Oxford, Ohio police suspected him of driving drunk. he was stopped driving down the wrong side of the road without his headlights on.
No, that's a kind of a giveaway.
Yeah, pretty much. He said that he had nothing to drink that night. He was reportedly stuffing his mouth with gum. They also found an open beer in the middle console, a partial case of beer on the passenger side, front seat, and more beer in the trunk of the car. So he was taken down
Busted.
He was busted.
I mean, you know, you think about the things you'd want to dress up as. Probably a breathalyzer is not the first choice. Yeah, I'm not sure that's the right costume.
That's a little suggestive.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it's just a little suggestive.
Yeah, pick a cop or a judge or something. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, it's like your vanity plate says boozer on it.
Right,
or something.
Exactly.
You know, you don't really want that. That's not such a hot idea if you're an alcoholic.
Oh, just another guy who owns a Lazy Boy. He is a...
Oh, that was the motorized one.
Yeah. The Lazy Boy was being auctioned off. This guy got a DUI on his motorized Lazy Boy. And apparently bidders on eBay are willing to pay more than $40,000 for an old Lazy Boy Reconomy.
That's I can't believe that.
I don't know. I tried to find it on there, and I didn't find it on there. But it was in the news.
Yeah, I know it was in the news. And it was... It was, I forget what the, when you first read the headline, it said something like, man arrested for drunk in Lazy Boy, and you didn't really get, the whole story was he was out on the road or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it was like endangerment. If you're going to do a DUI, you can, you know, you can do it on a, in a wheelchair or on a bicycle or anything like that. I suppose there's no reason you couldn't do it in Lazy Boy.
Well, my buddy Gino and I went down to the astronaut convention.
Oh, that's
Had a good time down there, and Neil Armstrong showed up.
Now, does he not normally show to these
things? No, he doesn't ever come out.
Well, he came this time. Why? And why?
maybe he was just driving by. No, I'm sure they had some kind of deal, but it's just down there. They astronauts sign. A lot of them have a fee, of course, to sign. It varies depending on who you are. You know, if you want to get Buzz Aldrin, I think he was like $350 base fee.
Yeah.
And we were down there.
Nice thing is, you know, John Glenn is free because he has to be.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know that, but he's one of the original Mercury 7.
And
the only other one alive one was down there, Scott Carpenter.
Yeah.
And but
why are they free?
Because Glenn is, because he's a senator.
Because he's a senator.
Yeah, and if you
if
you package up your memorabilia and send it off to him, he'll sign it and send it back. And I did that, and I got my little Mercury patch things back with his signature on there, so that was pretty cool.
As a public servant, he can't take any money for it.
Yeah, I thought you meant he had some astronaut contract.
No, he's just
aliens or something.
They should all be elected. If we just simply elect them all to the House for, you know, one term, you could get all their signatures for free.
Yeah.
South Korean woman passes driver's license on 950th attempt over 4 years and $4,200. I mean, something would be also to say about the fact that if you really had to take it that many times, I don't know if I want to be on the same.
I would think there'd be a prohibition after 900 or something.
I mean, she spent a cutoff,
She spent more than 5 million won, which is $4,200 in applications fees. She had failed to score the minimum 60 out of a possible 100 points to get behind the wheel. And
but now she's on the road.
She got a 60.
Yep, she got a 60, and so now she actually—I don't know what she got, but
I heard she got a 60.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's why I heard that she actually eked out a 60.
Well,
you'd think you might have it memorized after 900 times.
She needed the license for her vegetable selling business, I guess. It seems like her brain's kind of a vegetable at that stage. Yeah. So. Well, that's pretty much all I got I probably got more, but gosh almighty, don't know what to tell you.
All right.
I mean, you got anything else, Curtis?
Nope, I'm done.
Late. Don't forget listen to the first thing where I sent you those the new websites or the new iTunes stuff that's really good from Stephen
Molyneux.
Had put on there,
And
to circle around again.
Well, just go to the website. Go to jimmydone.com. And again, if you want to write us, please do so. Jimmy and
donation.com.
There's a donation button, absolutely.
I think in the 4 years we've been doing this, how much have we got? $25 so far?
At least, man.
Oh, yeah. Maybe $26, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Revenue.
And again, if you're going to buy one of these cool books that we're talking about, make sure you go to the reading list button. And click on our little thing, because we get like a half a cent
We
get some actual money.
Yeah, we actually get a bit. But, of course, we haven't gotten any actual money, because I guess everybody else has been doing something else by getting their books. I don't know.
If you're going to get it on Amazon, you might as well go through us.
Might as well go through us, absolutely. So just go to jimmydone.com, click on reading list, and they're all right there in a big row for you. You don't even have to do any thinking about it. We maintain that list. We just added two, actually.
Yep. But don't order a T-shirt or a coffee mug, because we're out of those.
Yeah. May have one coffee mug.
I think we might have one from the Hangar Dogs.
Yeah, we could auction that off.
Auction that off, yeah.
It's probably worth a lot more than ours.
Or I could auction off one of these telephones. They never ring.
Yeah, make sure you listen to Hangar Dogs, too. HangarDogs.com. HangarDogs.com. And, I don't know. We'll get some
We're certainly going to be doing a show this time. It won't be as long between then now. Probably within the next 2 weeks we'll do one.
Yeah, we got our buddy Will's coming in.
Our Will's going to come here, and he's going to insist on sitting in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Thanks for staying by.
Oh, yeah.